Dear friends, revenge. Revenge. It's sometimes called payback, getting even, settling the score. Revenge can be trivial, like getting even with friends for a prank that they've done to you. Can be fun. It can be harmless, like settling the score with a family member at their wedding because of what they did at yours. Revenge can sound justifiable, like getting payback in the public courts at times too. But as we know as well, too often revenge can become violent. Revenge is settling the score, getting even, sending payback. Ironically, it's called often sweet revenge when we believe we've got reason to be sour at someone. But revenge isn't always sweet, is it? When vehicles cut off in front of each other and another driver returns the favor in road rage revenge, the results can be fatal. When a marriage turns sour, divorce proceedings rarely improve with attempts to get even. Terrorism is a form of revenge, and it's hardly ever stopped with more violence. Because revenge at that level isn't usually sweet. It often makes people sour, worse, dead. The story of David's temptation in the cave has lots to say to us about revenge. Jesus quotes another saying, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And then Jesus also says in Matthew 5, we didn't read this, but some of you remember this. He says, I tell you, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. And the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12 what we heard, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. The Old Testament King David, long before he was a monarch, seems to be way ahead of his time in understanding the New Testament wisdom about revenge. He lived in that time where it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's why Jesus says, you have heard it said. That's the time that David lived in. But here, David seems to be way ahead of his time. King Saul has become jealous of David, has threatened David's life, and he is now on a 3,000-member manhunt to find him. David is in the desert with a few of his loyal friends. And the question in this story for David is, this is the setup question. Will David seek revenge? It's actually quite humorous the way the story unfolds, isn't it? Saul actually walks right into the very cave where David and his men are hiding. Not specifically to look for David, though. You know what Saul needs to do. Did you catch what it says in verse 3? If we had the old King James Version Bibles, it would say this instead. And Saul went in to cover his feet. Instead of, and Saul went to relieve himself. King James wanted to keep things clean. Now, whatever that would mean, Saul went in to cover his feet, Nobody's sure, but the newer translations more accurately, of course, translate what's really going on. Saul needs to go to the bathroom. Saul is as vulnerable as anybody is going to get. And for this chore, Saul's 3,000 men are not by his side. And David's men say, "This is your time, David." David, though, doesn't seek revenge in this cave. Revenge would have been the natural thing to do. What David does, though, is the supernatural thing, way ahead of his time. Though revenge was as old a sin in the world, David calls upon his own old saying where he says, "From evildoers come evil deeds." And David actually sets the standard, which is quoted in the New Testament later. "May the Lord judge between you and me. And may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. But my hand will not touch you, Saul." It sounds a lot like what the Apostle Paul says, "Leave room for God's wrath." What David's saying is, why should I repay evil for evil? David seems to understand much better than most modern politicians that bloodshed leads to more bloodshed. David seems to know that when we take justice in our own hands, when we do this, revenge is a downward spiral. And so all David does is quietly crawl up to Saul in the dark and cut off a corner of the robe that he had likely laid down before he went to do his duty. And by cutting off just a piece of that cloth, David cuts off the cycle of violence. Cutting off the downward spiral of revenge. Because that is really what revenge is. A downward cycle from the beginning of sin's entry into the world. Right from the beginning. On the human level, from the beginning, Genesis 4, Cain is jealous of Abel, and so he avenges his brother. On the supernatural level, evil has crept into the world and has wormed its way into God's good creation because the evil one wants revenge as well against God. And we don't know what's all involved in that dark story, though we know that there was a battle in heaven. The Bible tells us where a fallen angel seeks to destroy God's good intentions. Evil is behind so much revenge in this world. Not the fun-loving, getting even for pranks type of revenge. Not most justice in law-enforcing courts type of revenge. But when we feel that urge to take matters into our own hands, when we're so obsessed with how we have been hurt, not even caring how others might be affected, when we retaliate. That's the deceitful power of evil in this world working overtime when we get sucked into it. That's the devil working overtime. Who loves to work, especially when he can penetrate enemy territory, and enemy territory for the evil one is the people who love God. He loves to worm his way into Christian families, separating relatives who not only stop talking, but even worse, keep taking shots at each other. The devil loves to creep his way into the church pew. Revenge and digging in of heels, has led to far too many disputes and even divisions in the church. And it's true, the evil one probably has a heyday when that happens. You know, David knew that he was going to be king someday, but David knew that it wasn't up to him to set the time or the season for the end of Saul as king. He knew that that would just lead to an endless cycle of revenge. He knew that change was needed. Oh, yes, he did. But he started with reformation of himself. By God's grace, he would be king someday through no effort of his own. Through faith, he found his way through the desert, relying on God's sure word. You see, revenge isn't sweet. Actually, revenge is, even though it says it's sweet, it's actually very much like eating too much candy. It tastes so good at first, but it bites back at you. And yet revenge is such a real temptation. Fine to say how David dealt with it, but what about us? Three things briefly. First, since there's brokenness in the world, expect to be mistreated. Don't be overly surprised when someone wrongs you. There's lots of Sauls in the world. And admit that you too are sometimes the one doing the wrong. Second, since it's inevitable that you'll get mistreated, get ready for those feelings of revenge. Not saying seek it, but know that those feelings will come. It's part of our human nature since the fall. It's the nature of the beast. Know it. Understand it. Think about Jesus' words, "Do unto others as you would have them do to you, not as they do to you." And finally, since the desire for revenge is so real in this world, refuse to fight in your own power. David says, from evildoers come evil deeds. Revenge is for people who are naturally inclined to evil and have not tapped into the supernatural power away from it. In our own power, in our own way of thinking, that is exactly what we will do. We will try to get even again and again and again. But when we do, here's what happens. Hurt people. Hurt people. When we are hurt and don't do anything about that except try to get back at that person or those people who hurt us, all we do is hurt more people. Hurt people. Hurt people. Too often, naturally keeping on hurting others. The supernatural way to think right and to win the fight is the way that God wins through His Son Jesus on the cross. All the sin and the pain and brokenness in the world makes God, too, very sad, makes God angry. But instead of lashing out, instead of striking back, instead of getting even, God takes away the power of sin by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us all. This past week I went to Belize and I mentioned that there was a hurricane and that is part of the trouble. But that's not the only reason I went. Before the hurricane even landed on Belize, my flights were purchased because there's trouble at the ministry that I love. And it was a tough week this week because one of the outcomes is that the property managers that we have at the La Forna campus have decided that they need to move on. And without getting into all the details of why that happened, let me just say that there have been some issues. And there was great potential for the possibility of this small village, really about 2,000 people. Janet, who is with us here today, knows she's been there. Great potential for this small village of 2,000 people where we are ministering there to lose confidence in this ministry because the people we have on the property are intimately tied to that village. And one of the goals that we had in going to Belize this past week was so that even if the property managers would leave, that we would make sure that by the time they need to leave, there would be a good relationship between the ministry and this couple. Because for 4.5 years, they have been a blessing, but there had become a divide. And I am so thankful to say that at the end of our time there, even though Lazarus and Alicia, our property managers, are leaving, there is forgiveness and there is a wonderful opportunity for them to stay connected with the ministry, not living there anymore, but even teaching on the campus and even being part of a local advisory board to help the next property managers to move forward. There was such a potential for things to go so far south, to spiral down. And I'm so thankful, not because of anything I was able to do, but I was simply able to be there, that the cycle of downward spiraling revenge was stopped. But what about you? Has someone ever hurt you? Have you been and maybe still are tempted to fight back and to get even? Remember, hurt people hurt people. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.